Revival, right here on Planet FM. You can also listen online, planetaudio.org.nz/Vinyl Revival.
Kia ora koutou katoa and welcome to Well With Anahila, the Labour List MP based in Papakura. Today I'm going to have a kōrero with Sally Hughes. So Sally is from the Auckland Regional Public Health Service and hopefully she will help us understand what the Auckland Regional Public Health Service does, because I've heard it many times, ARPHS, but today we've got an opportunity to meet with Sally. Sally, welcome to Well With Anahila. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Kia ora.
Kia ora. So we'll start the program by asking you a little bit about yourself. Tell us about yourself, Sally.
Okay, so my interest in public health goes way back. I was originally a teacher, and so health education was sort of my route into public health. And so I've been in that space for about 35 years now. So I've had an experience of a lot of different health issues, which is really interesting.
That's great. And of course, that's where you've landed, at Auckland Regional Public Health Service.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic. So what is Auckland Regional Public Health Service?
So it's a series of teams. It's an organisation that represents all three DHBs. So that's Counties Manukau, Waitamata and Auckland DHBs. So we do the public health side, and probably the thing that people are most familiar with where us concerned is our response to COVID. So we picked that up when it started happening at the beginning of last year, and what our role is now is doing the contact tracing. So that's pretty huge, as you can imagine, and a very, very important part of the COVID response. And so when it started, we all chipped in and all took our part, but now we've really geared up and we've got three dedicated teams. But that's not the part of the business that I work in. I work in the health improvement team, and for the last 2 years I've been acting manager of that team. And we do the sort of work that looks to the future and looks at ways that we can prevent ill health and help to keep the population healthy.
You look into the future to prevent ill health, to keep the population healthy. Tell us about that.
Well, so the lots of things that make people sick are things that we can have some agency over ourselves. People do have the ability to eat more healthily and exercise and do all the things that we know do contribute to better health. But besides that, there are the things that are in the environment that that contribute to ill health. So my team are the team that look at those sorts of things. We're not handing people pamphlets out to tell them to take a walk every day. We're looking at the things in their communities, in the environment, that contribute to ill health.
Okay, so the things in the environment.
There's lots of things actually that can be modified in order that people can be healthier. So if you're looking at smoking, for example, we have a team that's working on tobacco. So rather than, there are very important measures that can be taken to help people to quit smoking. But beyond that, there is the things that in the environment that do contribute to people not being exposed to advertising for cigarettes, for example, for not being exposed to secondhand smoke. And so legislation that we've brought in over many years really contributes to people not being tempted to smoke, to not being exposed to smoke, for kids not seeing people smoking. So there's lots of regulations now that say people can't smoke in certain places, like in one of the most recent pieces of legislation was about smoking in cars. And so children are no longer exposed to secondhand smoke in cars, which we know does contribute to cancer. Yep, so those are the sorts of things my team does. Alcohol's another space where we have a team working on. And again, there are lots of things that can assist people to not be exposed to the harm from alcohol. So licensing laws, we have a team that monitors that and provides advice along with the police and council as to whether a licence should be given. So in a particularly vulnerable community where there are a lot of liquor shops, we might advise that there not be another another one along with the other 100 that's already there. So that's another sort of the work that we can do. And there are two pieces of legislation going at the moment. One for a new action plan on tobacco, and and there is talk of a review of the alcohol legislation. So my team is helping with those sorts of aspects. And another thing in the environment that's really has a big impact on people is advertising of food. So people sort of think they have a choice about the food they, they buy. But often it's really influenced by the marketing that they've seen for various foods. And so that's a big project that we're looking at, is how to restrict some of the advertising to particularly for foods for children that are not so great for their health.
Well, that's, and advertising is really an important fact, because you've touched on it in terms of alcohol and coming to smoking, and we like to think, you know, we like to think we're really independent. We know, you know, nobody tells us what to buy. No one has any influence on what the way I buy things, and we like to think that we have an independent. But you are telling us that advertising is important because it affects our choices. Tell us about that.
It's so dark. You know, so many people you talk to do say that, oh, no, I'm, you know, and the industry tells us, oh, no, all we're doing with our advertising is getting people to change brands. But we know for a fact, the research is just all over at this, that children in particular, it changes their preferences, it changes their consumption, and it influences them dramatically into what foods they'll eat. And it influences parents into what foods they will buy for children as well. And you really just have to look at the facts. The billions of dollars that companies spend on advertising, they would not be doing that. They would not be spending that money if it wasn't making a difference to the amount of the food they're advertising being
Maybe, Oh, thank you, Sally. Maybe if we can just bring it closer to the household. So we talk about, you've said facts are telling us this and companies are. So if you have any research that brings us straight to the household that you can share with the listeners today, that would be good. Because, you know, we could say, oh, it's just facts and facts and facts. And I could say, oh, no, actually, I'm independent. I do. I choose my own.
Well, we just know that the number of advertisements that people are exposed to, and I've got some recent numbers on that. And so in Counties Manukau, for example, the number of advertisements are 4,250 in that area. And so when you 25 ads within 500 metres of a school is also something that you have to take into account. When you think that children are walking to and from school every day, and you think, oh, well, that's just that's neutral, that's just out in the street. But 25 ads within 500 metres of a school.
Of a school.
Children are exposed to. And we know it's not just a single ad that makes the difference. It's the constant exposure. It's the gathering together of all the instances where they see an ad for a school. There was a really good experiment done in the UK where they took a group of young people. They invited them to come to a session and to a lunch. And on the way, the journeys of those young people, they showed them ads for fried chicken in the taxi, in the Uber, on the billboard, on the television screen, on the shop they walked past. They all saw the same ad for a fried chicken that didn't even exist, actually. It wasn't a known brand. When the kids arrived at that session, they gave them a menu and said, oh, what would you like for your lunch? 100% of those young people chose that fried chicken.
Fried chicken, oh, okay. And so that, it wasn't a branded fried chicken. It was
a fried chicken dish, and they all chose that dish, and then afterwards when they revealed that to those young people, they said, I don't know, I didn't even want fried chicken. I don't know why I said I would have that to eat. And that is the power of advertising. And much of it, like with those young people, is subliminal, like it's underneath the surface. People, they don't know they're seeing it. And, of course, that's the issue these days with online advertising. Mostly people aren't even aware of what children are seeing on online. You know, parents young children and teenagers, they don't know what their kids are looking at. But because the kids are interested in a certain type of program, like on TikTok, they'll be served up with those ads, and parents are not even aware.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a parent myself. I don't even know what my kids
are watching.
Yeah,
online.
Especially my youngest.
And even when you know what sort of channels they're watching, you don't know about the ads.
Because the ads just come on.
The ads just come on, and your children are not going to say to you, "Oh, I saw a great ad for such and such." But they might say, when you're in the supermarket with them the next time, they might go, "Oh, Mum, can we have that?" And you don't know where that's come from.
True.
But it's probably come from an ad.
Because how would they know?
How would they know? Exactly.
So in your role in terms of you and your team about health improvement, how do you have an impact on that kind of advertising?
So for years, I've been worried about this marketing to children for a number of years. And so in the beginning, we used to try to work with the companies because in good faith, they used to say to us, yes, we would like to help with these problems of food young people are eating. And so we did try to work with them. But in the end, we didn't see much change. And probably a lot of people don't realise, but there is no regulation of advertising that is not actually linked to the industry. There is a self-regulation system.
So that's the Food Advertising Standards, is that?
ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority, have a code about advertising food and advertising food to children.
And that code is?
But the code is, it sort of limits it to like one single ad. It doesn't take into account the whole suite of ads that a company would do. They never just do one single ad. They do a whole campaign, and it's that combined power of the exposure to those ads. So those advertising standards are actually run by the industry itself. It's not independent. There are some independent people on the panel, but the whole system is run by the advertisers. And we have been testing that system and complaining about ads that we think were pushing kids to eat a lot of food that was not good for them. And we've very seldom managed to get an ad, one of those complaints for a bad ad, upheld. So that's the sort of work we've been doing, testing that system. And now we have come to the conclusion that really there needs to be regulation of those sorts of advertising to protect children from having a diet that's, you know, really, really heavy in less healthy foods.
Definitely. So thank you, Sally. So that's where I met you. I was beginning a conversation around advertising for children, and I didn't know that myself until I looked into the area. And that's where I met you with a group who are interested in championing that work. Can you share with us?
So what we're doing is just trying to help people understand the power of that sort of advertising and that it is something that influences children's consumption, either by the food they ask for, the food they purchase themselves, or by the foods their parents buy for them. So we feel that as a responsible society, we should be protecting children from that. Like we protect kids from all sorts of other harms, like cycle helmets, fences around pools. You know, there's a lot of things that we do to protect children because we know children are more vulnerable and that as they grow, they're developing the sorts of taste for food that they will take into adulthood. And we know that if they develop a taste for high fat, high sugar, high salt foods, then that will be with them for life. And we think that as adults, as a society, we have a duty to protect children from an overconsumption of those sorts of foods. And so that's the sort of work my team's doing, trying to get people to understand that it is a risk and also trying to ask the government to help us with this, we really, that self-regulation isn't working and we really need to get some rules in there that prevent junk food from being just the normal food, because it's not normal. That's not the way people used to eat.
Yes, I know that for sure. I've experienced it myself. Yeah. So thank you, Sally. It really is important because when we came in as a government, we brought in the smoking cars to ban smoking cars.
Yes,
and that's
did.
Because the facts are telling us that secondhand smoking and children have no control in the car with the smoking, and of course, just adding on to our smoke free by 2025. And that's where you hope to have the conversation about advertising food to children to get to that stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I just want to let everyone know that it does get that we need champions in these areas to make sure that we get to a space where the government will make changes, because we've got champions who are sharing with the whole community about what's happening, and we've seen that in smoking in cars.
Yes.
We've seen that in bringing in the vaping. We've been bringing in legislation because people are dying.
And people don't die as quickly
with
unhealthy food, but eventually it does lead to ill health, and it does lead to premature death.
Yeah, I've seen some facts last week recently, and what I see that what's killing the majority of Aucklanders is lung cancer. That lung cancer is a cancer that actually takes a lot of lives sooner than what we would expect them to be.
Yep.
So definitely that's the reasons why we do what we do.
Yep.
So not far behind, though, is the effects of what we eat.
Yes, unhealthy diets.
Yeah, unhealthy diets. Yeah, because that will result in a lot of complications, and that's what you hope to do.
Yes.
So do you, Sally, in terms of actually reaching the actual household, in your current work at the moment, what does that look like?
So we're talking to communities. At ARFS, we have a lot of partners who work more directly with communities, like Healthy Families and Hapai Te Huora. So we've got those people working with us on this project, and so we hope that people in the communities, the Cancer Society is another really powerful partner of us in this work, and we hope that they will go and talk in their communities about support for this sort of legislation. It's a tricky one because people like to think they can buy whatever they want, and we're not stopping that. We're not saying these foods should be banned at all. What we're just saying is people shouldn't be exposed to the pressure to buy them more often. So that's the message we're trying to get across to people, that yes, it's fine to have that sort of food every now and again, but just it isn't fine to have it every day.
Every day.
That
and
will
the
lead,
amount that
yes,
we are consuming.
And the
them.
Amount we're consuming. Mm. It will lead to problems in later life. So, that's what we're trying to do with communities, to get them to support us, because governments don't like to do things if the people aren't with them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so we need people to understand the harm that can come from these foods and to support us when we say we need some restriction, because the companies aren't going to make changes themselves unless there is some rules about it.
Definitely. So as we're having a conversation, everyone, I'm having a conversation with Sally Hughes. So Sally is the manager of health improvement at the Auckland Regional Public Health Service. And I met Sally in a conversation with a group of people about food advertising standards. And that's how I met Sally, and we're having a conversation today. Sally, if people are listening and they're interested in joining the group or asking questions, how would they go about reaching you?
Well, they can reach me at Auckland Regional Public Health Service, Sally Hughes, and just they can definitely get in contact with me there.
So, that's on the website, Auckland so that's how you could get in touch with Sally, or get in touch with me and I'll connect you with Sally, because until I had a look at what was happening in Aotearoa on New Zealand with food advertising. I myself also didn't know that there is no legislation. Mm. There is no legislation or laws against about advertising standards. So it's a good start to have that conversation with everyone around us, especially now that it's so accessible. Mm. You know, if everyone's got a mobile and advertising is so accessible anywhere in New Zealand, you know, from, I know, parents. Oh, I can just think as a grandparent, my grandchildren have their own devices.
Yep. Yes, that's right. I mean, when I first started doing this work, it really was television ads that, that were the problem.
Yes.
But it's, boy, has it changed.
It definitely has changed. It has changed from the television. I know when I arrived in New Zealand, it was black and white television.
And now I remember that.
Your grandkids, grandchildren have their own devices and parents can have a control on what rating their children in terms of general rating or age restricted rating on what their children can access, but that's nothing. Advertising doesn't have that. Advertising.
No, it does not. No, advertising does not have any sort of filter that you can put on your kid's device. So that's why it needs to go that step further and say, well, actually, you're not allowed to advertise that sort of food to people under 18, for example. That's what we'd want to see happen.
Mm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Sally. So you've been a teacher in your beginning of your career and you're now at Health Improvement. What do you hope for New Zealand?
Well,
what do you hope for New Zealand?
Well, I guess what I'd like to see is that more recognition that we can do more in the environment, that that don't blame individuals because we are all products of our environment.
Mm.
And I hate it when I hear people say, oh, people just need to have more self-control.
Yeah.
I mean, we know someone
take
who
some
said that.
Take
some responsibility. But really, we are just products of our environment, and we need to make the environment healthier. And that's what I'd like to see, is I'd like to see a community that cares for all of its citizens in that way. And it's not being a nanny state or anything. It's just caring for people and helping people to live healthier lives.
Mm.
And so that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see more help in the community for people so that they can live healthier lives.
Mm.
It's easier for them rather than making them, you know, oh gosh, where do I find some healthy food in this community? Because there are some communities that really have very poor access to healthy food, whereas other communities have an abundance of fruit and vegetable shops, etc. So there's not equity in these things, and that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see more equity so that everybody could live a healthier life.
Most definitely, and also we'll be helping the environment too.
Yes, definitely.
Mm. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today?
That thing about it not being your fault. I don't want people to take from this interview that I'm blaming them for the food they buy for their kids, because I know how hard it is to with the cost of food and everything, and people are time poor.
Mm.
You know, they've got lots of jobs they have to go to, and so I don't want people to think that I'm wagging my finger at them. I'm here to support people to be able to live more healthily, not to tell them off. So I guess I just wanted to get that message across.
No, that's great, because I think just be more aware, like as a person who buys food for my household, just be more aware of convenience.
Yep.
And when I do choose convenience, what's convenient to me because of the lifestyle that I lead, is that when I do make a choice of what to buy in the family for dinner that night, if I'm the one doing the cooking, it's like, okay, stop. Is it easier to stop, go to the supermarket and get something healthy, or stop at the drive-thru? I'm starting to be aware of that. So last week I decided to go to a drive-thru because it was my turn to cook. And there was maybe 10 cars in front of me waiting at the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, and by the time I got to the end to get my, it was like half an hour I've spent in the drive-thru.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, geez, if I had gone to the supermarket, parked the car, gone and grabbed something and then get in the car, it would be less than half an hour.
Yep,
and I'm thinking I'm taking the most speediest way to cook by doing that. So I think a challenge to everyone listening, let's just double check on what we do when we think we're in a hurry.
Yes.
How much time it actually takes us to do to get that food of convenience and actually just going to the supermarket or the local fruit and veg to get something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then if you buy those, you can buy those same ingredients, like hamburger patties and a bit of lettuce and some buns. You can make hamburgers at home and you know what's in them.
You know what's in the burger you'll still have leftover ingredients to make another burger tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. And it won't be any more expensive than going to a drive-thru. Yep. Mm.
Well, thank you, Sally, for having the conversation, the kōrero with me today about your role at the Auckland Regional Public Health Service. It is that time we're coming to that I ask you, what do you do for yourself for well-being?
How
do you keep well?
Well, well-being is so important. Mm. And, of course, it's not just the physical well-being. Mm. For physical well-being, I love my veggie garden and I'm in a walking group and I used to play tennis, but I don't seem to have time for that anymore. But the other well-beings are equally important, and I spend time with my whānau and with my friends, and that's the way I keep sort of mentally healthy.
That's great. Many people that I've interviewed in the program, that's what they value the most, is time with whānau, time with friends, just having a conversation or catching up with them, whether it's half an hour on the car on the way home and during the traffic, catching up with mum or the sister. It's just great.
And then you can combine those things and you can go walking with a friend and you get double your money.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today, Sally. It's great to hear.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, what you do for our well-being and health here in Auckland, even though most of us aren't aware because you're doing it in the background, just to take this opportunity to say thank you very much and all the best in your conversations about food advertising in the future. I hope to support you in that role as well.
Thank you so much.
So everyone, that was Well with Anahila. We've just had a kōrero with Sally Hughes. She is the Health Improvement Manager at the Auckland Regional Public Health Service, and that was our kōrero today, and that is Well with Anahila. Have a great day. Ka kite anō.